Today's message is on fear and trembling,
and it's more about walking in fear of the Lord. Amen? Walking in fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about that and what that is. So if we can go back to the Lord in prayer, just so He can open up His word to us. Father God, we come to You again, Lord, and I just ask that You lead this teaching, Lord, this message. Lord, I just ask that You remove me from it and You take the reins, Lord, and give us each what we need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be through a couple of different scriptures, but Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Has anybody ever been afraid?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh?
Show of hands. Anybody ever been afraid? Amen, right?
So Friday, I get afraid all the time.
Right? If you don't get afraid, if you don't become afraid, then there could be something wrong with you. Literally.
Yeah.
God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love is not mine. But spiritually, we do have the flight or fight, right? Fear. We do have that. So Friday, I was sitting, maybe it was yesterday,
but I was sitting downstairs and I had the door propped open with a chair, with a wooden chair down there. So I'm sitting at the table, I'm checking the emails. I think it was Friday, and the wind caught the door and that chair banged on the concrete. The door came shut. My heart went to my feet. I got startled. I was scared. I'm like, what was that? So, yeah. So just as little as the other day. But we're going to talk about a different kind of fear. Right? We can have different kind of fears, right? We can be afraid of spiders. Maybe dead. You're definitely afraid of spiders. Or snakes, or dark, right? Or thunder, lightning. We can have all kinds of fears. But the fear that we're talking about is walking in the fear of the Lord and having fear and trembling. You know, in writing to the early church, Luke recorded, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And that's our main scripture, which is 9:31 of Acts. Now it says walking in the fear of the Lord, but the important part is comfort of the Holy Spirit. Right? We can still walk in comfort. Writing to the church at Philippi, Paul told them, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, the concept of fear and trembling in connection with God is not a popular concept today. It's not. People prefer to hear about God's love, His long suffering, His mercy, right? They want to hear about all the good things of God, which we want to, right? We want to. And sometimes when we point out God's righteous indignation, His holiness and His justice, people say, my God's not like that. My God's not just. My God's only loving. Right? Which would be making God one-sided. Amen? We're studying the names of God. That's what I wanted to say. For Sunday school, which is the characteristics of God, right? And in those characteristics that we talked about, yeah, He is the God Almighty, and He is sovereign, but He's also very loving. And because He is Lord, we can have that relationship. But we have to respect His power. We have to hold Him in reverence. And we don't do that today. We don't do that today. Because we just think, God loves me, I'm good. It's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. The emphasis on God's love and mercy today is probably the reaction to hellfire and brimstone preaching of generations in the past. In the 1800s and stuff, they preached that nonstop. Hellfire and brimstone, right? As a pastor, I want to teach God's love or God's justice. It has to be both. Because the Bible isn't only one-sided. That's all of God's word. But could it be that we've gone to the other extreme? We see some of these preachers on TV today, right? And they have no concept of fear and trembling as it relates to the Christian, right? There's a lot of people out there that they don't have that concept. God is not accepting, hear this, God is not accepting or tolerant of sin. He's not. He can't be. He can't be. But he is forgiven. He is forgiven. The main thing that we have to do, right, is we have to know the difference. We have to know the difference. We have to know that when we sin, God's not going to tolerate it. He will not. But through his son, Jesus Christ, he is forgiven. Without Jesus, we can never go in front of God because of our sin. But Jesus washed that all away with his blood. And today, that's all people see. I can do what I want because Jesus forgives me. That's not true.
No.
That's not true. We have to walk in righteousness and holiness. Amen. So, could this be why many Christians are lazy in their service to God and the church? Because we don't hold God to a higher standard anymore. We become lazy in our studies. We become lazy coming to church or Sunday school, right? Or Bible studies, which we have 6:30 Wednesday night. A little plug for Bible study. We don't hold God in enough reverence to do the things we need to do as Christians. We just don't. Where there's no fear of God anymore. And it's not fear, and we're going to get into that. That's not fear to be afraid of God, but yet it is. But yet it is. Could it be we have forgotten whom we should fear if we are negligent in our service? Sometimes we forget that. We get so caught up in the world and so caught up in life, we forget to have the fear for God, for not coming to church, for not repenting, right? For not doing the things we can. And Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." People are afraid of what other people can do and not of God. People are afraid of each other, but we don't have any fear or reverence for God. Right? We're afraid to walk down the street at night, but we're not afraid of blowing church off. Right? We're blowing a prayer off. I posted on Facebook, and I got a lot of good responses a couple days ago. Because we see when we're going down through Facebook that people say, "Can you pray for this? Can you pray for that?" How many people pray and then forget all about it? Right? How many people just blow that off? Or how many people think, because I typed praying in there, that that's prayer? No. You got to get me out of the equation. Take 30 seconds, an hour, whatever God leads you to, and pray for that person. We need to do that. Right? We just can't blow it off. God's got it. I don't have to pray for it. God knows. No. That's eliminating our reverence for him. Right? Because he wants to hear our prayers. But yeah, people are just too afraid of what other people can do, and they don't realize the power and the Almighty of God. So in this message today, I hope to accomplish three things. Define the fear of the Lord, point out why the fear of the Lord is important to the Christian, and suggest how we can develop a healthy fear of the Lord without going to one extreme or the other. And we talked about those three extremes, right? Hellfire, brimstone, all love. It has to be both. So the word fear, defining the word fear of the Lord, the word fear in the Hebrew is yira. And it's used in the Old Testament to describe fear and terror. Awesome or terrifying thing, an object causing fear. So somebody's afraid of snakes, right? That's an object causing fear. Darkness, that's an object causing fear. And that's what that's saying, right? And then we have fear of God, which is respect, which is a reverence, which is a piety, right? And the Greek word is phobos. And this is where we get our word phobia. And I keep going back to the spiders because that's what I know. Arachnophobia. There are hundreds of phobias. There's a phobia for everything. And this is where it comes from. And it's used to describe fear, dread, terror, or that which strikes terror. Right? Phobia, being afraid of heights. Right? There's a phobia for everything. But this is where we get it. We get it from the Greek word phobos. Phobos. So in connection with the fear of the Lord, and it's often defined as reverence or awe. So when we see pastors and stuff, evangelists, or mostly pastors, they're reverence. Right? Everybody ever heard reverend going to church? Reverend? My official title is Reverend Robert W. Fay. My official title as a reverend, right? That is a reverence, is where we get the word from, because I'm in a position of authority, really, as a pastor or as a reverend. And when we have the reverence for God, that's okay as far as that goes, but I wonder if the definition truly goes far enough. And we talked about that today in Sunday school. For though the terms reverence and awe imply a place for trembling, do most people make the connection when it comes to God? The fear of the Lord should include a place for trembling. And Paul says in Philippians 2:12, he's combining fear and trembling. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we read this scripture a little bit ago too, but I want to explain this because people take this a little bit out of context and not sure what it means about working out your salvation. Has anybody ever heard that? You got to work out your own salvation. Right? And that's what Paul's saying here. But we have to do it in fear and trembling. We have to do it in awe of God. We have to do it in reverence. So, the Hebrew word, I love Hebrew and Greek, is ba'ed, and it's to tremble, which makes sense. It's trembling. The Greek word for trembling is tromos, and means a trembling or a quaking of fear. So, once again, we get our words from the Hebrew and a lot of words from the Greek. So working out your salvation means to apply salvation, not earn it. Not earn it. What that means is there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Working out our salvation doesn't mean we need to do works to receive salvation. That doesn't mean we have to give $1 million a year to the church. That won't get you into heaven. That doesn't mean that you have to get baptized to earn salvation. Those are all works. Anything we do
to try to gain entrance into heaven is works. There's works after we become saved. Amen? God wants us to do that things. He wants us to be baptized. He wants us to do things in the church, to help in the church. Right? To rip carpet up on the 20th. I gotta get all them plugs in there. I gotta be a salesman. But we cannot earn salvation. So working on our salvation means to apply it once we get saved, right? Fear and trembling means to have proper respect in a response to God's blessing. Because salvation is what? It's a blessing. It's a gift. Amen? True obedience comes from reverence and not fright. We see throughout history that leaders, right, get obedience from people, not from fright. When they instill fright in people, they get people to do it because they're afraid, not because they want to do it. Obedience is we want to do it. So when we're obedient to God, that means we want to do things for God. Amen? We want to be in His presence all the time because we hold Him in reverence. God provides the deeper incentive, right? Christians are recipients of God's initiatives of motivation and empowerment, and we get that when we get saved. We get that through His love. He wants us to do things, you know? And a proper fear of the Lord would then include reverence and awe. So, reverence. What is reverence? Well, reverence is defined as deep respect or in a name given to a holy figure in a religious institution. An example of reverence is when you show deep and complete respect for the Bible as the Word of God. A feeling or attitude of deep respect, love, and awe as for something sacred. When we sin, willfully or not willfully, do we become afraid of God? No. Are we afraid of offending God in any way? Some are. Right? When we willfully sin, we're purposely offending God. Because we're not holding Him in the reverence that we need to hold Him in. Amen? A trembling and quaking if you know you've offended God and have not attained forgiveness. And here's a big one. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. So let me explain this. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sin. This does not mean that once we get saved, if we willfully sin, Jesus doesn't forgive us. It doesn't say that. The big word is the last word of that second line, the knowledge of the truth. If you're sitting in this church right now and you're hearing the words that I'm speaking, you're hearing truth out of God's word. Once you hear this, if you walk out of here and willfully sin, you reject Jesus Christ. Therefore, there's no sacrifice for you because you are in denial and rejection. If you have that conversion, that heart change, right, and you want to accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit pierces your heart, then you have a sacrifice. But if you're willfully in rejection of Jesus Christ, you don't have a sacrifice. Why? Because you don't want one. You're making that choice not to believe. We ran into a waitress in a restaurant the other night. We went out to dinner. Testing God again. We went out to dinner, and I asked the waitress, I said, Do you go to church anywhere? She said, nope, I'm not a believer. And I said, why not? I had a terrible childhood. She chooses not to believe. Right here. She chooses not to believe.
Shared a little bit of the word with her, invited her to church. I was really hoping she would be here today.
When things happen in our lives, we often wonder, why did God let that happen? She was probably, I don't know what's in her heart or in her mind, but she probably thought of that. I don't know what happened to her. She didn't tell me. That's between her and God. Right? So, she says, I had a terrible childhood. And I said, I had a horrific childhood. But God brought me through it. Right? God comforted me through it. Did I ask him why a whole bunch of times? Absolutely. There's always a reason. There's always a reason. But Romans 1, this isn't in the message, but I'm going to read it anyway. So Romans, Acts, Romans is after us. Romans 1, 28. And I'm gonna show you why it's a choice. Or I'm sorry, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but become futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans 1:20 says, everybody knows of God, right? So if everybody knows of God, there's a choice whether to believe in him or not. That's what this is talking about, right? You're hearing the words of God and you're taking it in, but you're rejecting Jesus. You're hearing it, but you're not listening. I'm not saying you hear. I'm saying in general. Okay? In general. But that's what this means. But there needs to be a certain fearful expectation of judgment. So you need to know that if you keep rejecting Jesus and you have no fear of God, you better expect judgment. Right? You better expect judgment. So the value of such attitude is seen when we continue on and now notice the importance of the fear of the Lord. So, I don't know if you can see all that. I didn't. I was hoping it would. So the fear of the Lord, these are all in Proverbs. These are all in Proverbs. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now listen to these. The fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil. The fear of the Lord will prolong life. The fear of the Lord provides strong confidence and is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord prompts one to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. The fear of the Lord is the way to riches, honor, and life. Is that saying we're going to all be millionaires? We're going to be all honored? No. That's all spiritual through Christ. Right? So we can see that the fear of the Lord is good for us. Is good for us. Amen? Without the fear of the Lord, we close ourselves off to the treasure of God's wisdom and knowledge. And we're going to flirt with evil and can be corrupted by it. Our lives are likely to be shortened by our refusal to heed God's word because we live in sin and don't care. Because we don't have the reverence for God. We just do what we want. That's the way of the world today. Right? Amen? Everybody agree?
Amen.
Everybody just does what they want. Nobody cares. Nobody has reverence for God or what he has done for each and every one of us.
We're not going to come to know the love of God that gives us assurance and confidence in our salvation. When falling into sin, we're not going to be motivated to repent and to turn to God. Right? Because there's no reverence. We're not afraid of God. So when we fall into sin, oh well. Right? Because there's no reverence. Right? Those without fear isn't going to know how bad sin is. And you're not going to be motivated to truly work out your own salvation. That's the last slide. Isaiah 60, which means we're almost done. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Only the person who trembles at his word has God's promise to receive his tender mercy. And when it says the poor and contrite spirit, right, he's not talking about poor with no money. That's spiritually poor. David said in a song, this poor man, right, that's spiritually poor. We can get spiritually poor if we're not doing the right things that God wants us to do. If we're not saying in his word, if we're not praying, if we're not fellowshipping, if we're not coming to church, we can become spiritually poor. I don't want to become spiritually poor. But there's days that I neglect sitting down with God. Too busy doing other things. Right? And it bothers me. It bothers me. Psalm 103, 17, 18 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as a deep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. But how do you develop the proper fear of the Lord without going to the extreme of the earlier generations about hellfire and brimstone? You're going to go to hell. Well, yeah, if you don't believe in Jesus, you are. But there has to be a balance. Right? We have to know how good God is, but we have to have that respect on how powerful he is. We don't have that. We don't have that in today's society. We just don't. It's heartbreaking. But the fear of the Lord comes through the Word of God. So if you want to get that fear of the Lord, get into God's Word. Get into reading the Bible. Amen? Amen. Get into reading the Bible. So in Deuteronomy, and I'm going to finish up with this, which is the last book of the Torah. Deuteronomy 31. Actually, the last chapter too. No. So Deuteronomy 31, 10 through 13 says, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses, you shall read the law before all Israel into their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women, little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord God. Because God's word tells us how good he is. So why did Moses say that? What's the purpose? That they can learn to fear of the Lord. So as we read the word of God, we should gain a healthy degree of fear of the Lord. Amen? We should get that. We should get that. And if you're not, you need to pray to God and ask him to open your heart to receive his word. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance to your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. That scripture right there tells us how good God is, but yet he's just. Right? There's a balance. There's a balance. I'm not up here preaching balance. That's the word of God telling us that there has to be a balance. Because God has that balance. So to avoid extremes, we just can't, we have to read all of God's words. We just can't go the Old Testament or just only read the New Testament. You've got to read cover to cover. Right? You've got to read the whole Bible. Which, some of it's a little tough. So, Psalmist said in closing in 89:7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Who are the saints? Who are the saints? We are. We are. So why do we need to fear the Lord? Well, we need to be sure to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Right? We're working out on our salvation. And when we're working out our salvation, we're doing the things that God wants us to do. If we're not doing them, we just can't blow God off. We just can't. God will get over it. Can't say that. Right? You can't say that. And you have to pray what God wants you to do. You have to pray about it. But the warning's necessary. And in Hebrews it says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have the good news proclaiming to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. That's Hebrews 4:11. So we can work out our own salvation. We can do the things that God wants us to do. You know, and having these, therefore having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Are you perfecting holiness in the fear of God? Are you walking in the statutes that God wants you to walk in? Are you having that healthy fear of the Lord that we need to keep us on the straight and narrow? Right? To walk in holiness, to walk in righteousness. Are we doing that? Do you have that fear of the Lord that keeps you with him? Now, yes, we'll veer off the path. We all do. Right? But when we cry out to God in reverence, forgive me, Lord, for veering off the path, he grabs us and takes us right back. Right? There's a narrow path and there's a wide path. Right? That wide path is full of poo. Everybody's an insane. There's a narrow path. And the wide path, and there's many on that path, Jesus tells us. It's full. It's full. The narrow path, there's room for two. And you're like, what are you talking about, room for two? Aren't all believers on that narrow path? Yes. But there's room for you, and there's room for Jesus. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Worry about what you're doing for the Lord. How is your relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you don't have that relationship, I ask that you come up right now and give your life to the Lord, to accept him, to have that reverence. Or if you need prayer, come on up. Come on up for prayer. Yes, I do use oil. If you don't want the oil, simply say, I don't want that oil. It's not that hard. I'm not going to hold you down. Couple bunch of anointing oil on you. So the oil doesn't heal. The oil doesn't fix you. The oil is a representation of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God used oil throughout the Bible. He is the power that heals. He is the power that gives comfort. Moses' staff. Everybody thought the power was in the staff. No, the power is in God. Amen? So, and we're going to break the offering. Because if not, you might as well call me. Father God, we come to you again, Lord, and we thank you for this day. And as we close, I just ask that you be with each person here, Lord, that you just bless them, Lord, and keep them safe, Lord, and just give them the strength and the wisdom to walk in your statutes, to walk in your will, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to bless this offering, Lord, and your provision that you have given us, Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we just ask you to bless it that it may further your kingdom, Lord, that we can keep our doors open, Lord, to spread your love and your word to the whole world. Lord, we thank you. And we bless you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you would think I'd remember this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. See, I remember because I'm in my glasses. I can't see it. So go in peace with... Oh!
Wow! How many times I forget that? Jeez. I get so excited.
All those helping with communion, come on up. We'll have communion. Don't you just love me? I'm just so genuine, right? Yeah, you can love her too. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless his sacraments. Dear Jesus, we come to you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for what you've done for us on the cross, Lord. We thank you for the things that you do for us, Lord, by keeping us, Lord. And we just ask you to bless these sacraments. Although we know that this isn't your blood and body, this is a representation. And we hold this in high regard, Lord, as we remember what you did for us. Lord, we ask you to bless the bread that is your body. And we ask you to bless this juice that represents your blood. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.